John the Baptist was not the light. He was the witness to the light. He was not the Messiah. He was the witness. He was the voice crying out in the wilderness. And we continue our sermon series through the life, the ministry, the happenings, the ministry influence of John the Baptist. So today we will be in the Gospel of John, the fifth chapter. We've been in the Gospel of Luke for a few weeks, and today we'll be in John chapter 5. Previously, we read that Jesus said that he is more than a prophet. Born among women, there is no greater man than John. And the people rejoiced, the tax collector, the sinners rejoiced because they had been baptized with the baptism of John, which means repentance and faith. And then Jesus talked about genuine faith, about truly following after God. Now, in John chapter 5, there's a little difference that takes place. From here and the coming weeks, Lord willing, John the Baptist is no longer in the picture. Perhaps chronologically, he has been martyred, but he's not on the ministry scene. But yet, his life impacted so many. And God used John, even after he was gone, to impact people. I was thinking about that great truth right before I walked up, how a life, even after it's gone, can still impact so many. I say that because I'm writing a funeral sermon this afternoon. For a dear brother in arms, fellow pastor, great friend, church member, Jack Jones. And it made me think of the impact, even after someone is gone, they can still influence others. John chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 33, read through verse 35. We'll go back and hit some other points in that chapter, other verses. But we want to see it. We want to focus on John because that's the sermon series, but then we're going to see Christ. Starting at verse number 33, you sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. John played a significant role in the history of the kingdom, the history of the church, Christian history, whatever you want to say. And his life and his ministry pointed us to Jesus. That is one of the great features of John's life. He pointed us to Christ. Even when we read this passage of Scripture, I've selected just a few verses about John. Everything else in the chapter points us to Jesus. So, usually, pastors give 3 points. Today, we want to beat the Methodists to the restaurants. We're doing 2. Pastor Trey, for the Methodist Church, he understands. He'll think it's funny. And they'll probably still beat us. Amen? 2 points. Number one, John the Baptist was good. He was good. He was well known. I hate to say the word celebrity, but man, he was popular. He preached and he baptized in the wilderness. People came from all over to hear this guy speak. The average person could relate to John. This wasn't just the religious high and mighty of the day. The average individual and even the outcasts of society, the tax collectors, the sinners, they came. Now, the religious leaders, more like the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Herodians, they also knew about John. They were well acquainted. They went to hear him speak, but they never accepted his message. And Jesus reminds the Jews in this passage of Scripture, and when I say Jews, I'm referring to the religious leaders like the Pharisees, those who came against Jesus to question him, and the disciples of the Pharisees. He reminded them, you came to John because you wanted to investigate him. You wanted to know, is this guy speaking the truth? You never accepted him. You wanted to find a fault. And Jesus says concerning John, he bore witness. He gave proof. He gave evidence to the wisdom of God. Because bearing witness, that means providing clarity to the pursuit of truth. Can I remind you one of the fundamental commandments? Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. Let me say it in the King James because it sounds better. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Don't get up in a position of authority and provide lies. Don't bear false witness. As opposed to that commandment, John the Baptist is the witness called to the stand to defend the person of God, saying, God is about to show up. I'm preaching the mountains down, raising up the valleys, making it straight. I'm just the voice, but God is on his way. The Messiah is almost here. He is the greatest witness, the one to take the stand to say, I'm going to clarify the truth to you. Years ago, we had a couple in our community. They were not church members, but they were friends. We were acquaintances with them. And it turned out they had marital problems, and they decided to get a divorce. Usually in those scenarios, they work it out. Most people in their right minds, beloved, work it out and talk to each other. They couldn't even talk to each other. They began to argue about who gets what, about possessions, about trivial things. No one cares about the fine china. Can we all agree with that? Good. But then they got down to the big issues, custody of the children. Both the husband and the wife lawyered up. Now, we lived in a small community. Both sides were going to other individuals in the community and said, we want you to testify for me so I get kids. Now, listen, this is both sides. They approached some church members and they said, we want you on our side. And so someone came to me, and they were not church members. Thank God. They said, Pastor, what are you going to do when they approach you? And I said, I'm not going to stand for either one. I'm not involved. I'm not going to bear witness for one of them because both are at fault. But what happened, they were saying, I want you to come and back me up. Testify to the truth that I'm a good parent. I want you to see that's what John did with Jesus. He says, I'm the witness. And it says that his testimony, what John shared from his heart, was incredible. He said, this Jesus guy does not come from man. He comes from heaven. And through the message that John preached, and Jesus clarifies, people could get saved. People could be right with God through the message John the Baptist preached. I want you not only to see his witness, his testimony, but also his works. The action, the imagery we see employed about John the Baptist. Jesus says concerning John, he was a burning and shining lamp. Interesting word usage. We read that as adjectives, but it's really two verbs written in two different tenses. Which let me get you to the basics of this. The burning and the shining. The burning was something that happened to him in a passive sense. The shining was something that he did actively outward. So the burning, the power within him, the ability to cause combustion, this innate force, I believe, I submit to you, beloved, it was caused by the Holy Spirit that John was just burning. He was passionate. Not only that, It says actively he was shining as a lamp. He was sending out light from himself outward to others to illumine something. And I think it is tied to Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Not only was he burning and passionate and holy before God, inwardly, passively, actively, outwardly, he was illuminating, he was shining as a lamp. So it's his witness, his testimony, and his works. And Jesus said to the religious hypocrites, you rejoiced in him for a little while. For a temporary time, you went to John, and now he's out of the way. But I say to you, church and guests, John the Baptist was good. There's nothing derogatory that Jesus says about John. He says, John was good. John did his thing. Man, John's my boy. Now, I didn't say that in the translation, but the way I word it, where I'm from, that's what we say. Man, John the Baptist was good. He played his part. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. And henceforth is laid up for him a crown. John the Baptist was good. Now, as we know, studying John's life and ministry and happenings, you can't help but see Jesus. And so now let's go back to the text, John chapter 5. We're going to read verses 30 through 32 and then skip down to verse 36. The scripture will be on the screens if you can't keep up. This is Jesus, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. Now, let's go down to verse 36. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you. For you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Man, John the Baptist was good. But here's point number two, Jesus Christ is better. John was good, but Jesus is better. The points aren't very much, but it's true, isn't it? You know, I think, man, I've got a lot of time in studying homiletics, which is preaching, and those are the best points I can come up with. But they fit. Jesus is better. John the Baptist, in this description we read, 33 through 35, man, he is in the middle. John the Baptist is in the middle of this great discourse about Jesus, this glorification of the Son. Can I tell you, chapter 5 of John's gospel is not about John the Baptist. It's about Jesus. The whole issue of the topic brought up, like, Jesus, why are you even bringing this up? The whole reason is because of Jesus. Not only does John bear witness, give testimony, and show his works. Listen, Jesus bears witness about himself. He gives his own testimony. And personally, his works show us clearly he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah. So let me give you the backstory. Jesus, why did you even bring this up? Let me go to verse 1 of John chapter 5. Here is the issue that stirs up the hornet's nest, theologically speaking. Verse 1 of John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. Now, that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." And this is where we know when it says Jews in chapter 5 refers to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, those that knew a lot about God, but they didn't know God. They were upset that someone, they did not know who he was yet. They later found out in the chapter because the man spilled the beans inadvertently. They were upset that Jesus healed this guy. For 38 years, he's an invalid. The mysticism about John 5, the healing pool, that the angels came down and stirred the waters. Whoever got in first got healed, and he says, "I can't do it by myself. I need someone else to come in and heal me." The Jews, the religious leaders, were upset because it was Sabbath, a holy day of rest. Jesus said, "This is my testimony. It's true, but not just my testimony. My works show who I am. No other person can step in and heal someone. Give us the proof." For 38 years, he's an invalid. He's a cripple. In some fashion, he is disabled. He is hindered. But yet, God stepped in a moment on his day, by the way, and healed this guy. Jesus said, "My testimony is true, but also look at my works." And then verse 36, he says, listen to this, everybody. "The testimony that I have is greater than John." Now, John was good, but he's not like Jesus. He says, "The testimony that I have is greater than John, and the works that I do come from God the Father." Forget about John the Baptist. Can I tell you, Jesus is better. The book of Hebrews, that's what it's all about. Jesus better than the angels, better than Moses and the patriarchs, better than the prophets and priests, better than any king in the latter chapters, better than any offering or sacrifice ever given. Jesus is better. But the Jews, the ones that had a lot of knowledge, were not ready to accept Jesus in their hearts, to believe in faith. They didn't want to accept Jesus. What was their hang up? Because they were hung up on the fact he's not greater than the commandments. There are 6 days to work. There is one day to rest. How dare you tell that man to take up your bed and walk? Can you imagine the audacity of them going to Jesus like, "How dare you break the law?" And Jesus is like, I am the law. I'm greater than the law. I wrote the law. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is better. Jesus is greater. John was there for a temporary time in order to usher us into the age in which Christ would step into the picture. For years, I made do with what I had, and I tried to put off making purchases and making decisions because this church and guests, you know, I don't want to spend money. And so for years, even as a pastor, I ministered to my church families with a flip phone. I mean, for years. My secretary at my first church, a pastor, she says, you know, Pastor, the church pays your phone bill. We have money for you to get a smartphone. I said, I'm not interested. I don't want it. I took our students to church camp one summer, and then about a week later, someone said, Pastor, we got to talk to you about the youth. I said, oh no, what have I done? Or what have they broke? And they said, Pastor, the youth group is making fun of you. I said, why? Your flip phone. That spurred me on, like, I'm going to keep it longer. As long as possible, I'm going to keep it. And so I went to the second church I pastored. I had a flip phone. And it got to the point I had church members messaging me from a smartphone. It would not correlate, would not transfer over. I was getting these blank messages and thought, well, wasn't that important? Turns out some of those messages are important. And I had to break down and get a phone, a smartphone. It's like a mini computer. All the stuff that we're capable of doing with these phones, it's amazing. The flip phone was good, but the smartphone is better. For a temporary time, that phone got me through. We got the job done, but it was never meant to be something long-standing. Beloved, when we see John, he was good. But Jesus is better. God the Father gave his input about Jesus. He says, I love him. I'm going to bear witness about him. I gave the word through the Holy Spirit. That's his ministry. To confirm him, to verify him. If you've got a problem with Jesus, you got a problem with the Father. Because Jesus says, I and the Father are one. That was part of the issue of John chapter 5. So it was not just Jesus saying, I'm going to heal on the Sabbath because I'm God and be holy in and of myself. It's because the relationship of Jesus and the Father, that's the second issue the religious hypocrites have with Jesus. John chapter 5, let's go to verse 16. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I'm working. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father. Listen to this, making himself equal with God. John bore witness, testified and worked to prove Jesus is the Christ. The Father bears witness, testifies, does works to prove Jesus is the Christ. Jesus does all those as well. And he established the works for Christ to accomplish, the Father did. All of this proves, beloved, Jesus is better. You say, well, we forget John the Baptist, forget this sermon series. No. That does not negate the time of John's ministry. It verifies that he was there for a specific purpose. He was good. He was a burning and shining lamp. The point of the text is for you to see Christ, to establish him as the king of your hearts, but the real application is for you to find your role. You're not supposed to be better. You're just supposed to be good. You're not the king. You're saved by the King. And let me bring it back when it says that he was a burning and shining lamp. Those two verbs, the role he played, the way the Holy Spirit impacted John, that burning passive ability instilled in him. That's what we're called to. You say, Pastor, I've heard this. I know this. When we say it like that, we sound like Pharisees. We sound like the hypocrites saying, oh, I know that. I don't want to know. I want to be. I want God to impress upon me his power, his passion, the joy of my salvation. Church, have we lost it? Have we lost our joy? Or in Revelation, when they say you've lost your first love, man, what happened to that fire that we once had? That passion, that yearning for more of God is the burning in a shining lamp. So it's not just the impact God has on you, which we should welcome, we should seek out, but also this, beloved, what are you doing that issued from your soul outward? You're shining, you're illumining. Man, what are you doing for God? I'm not asking you to be the king. I'm asking you to find your role, your niche, where God says, this is where I want you to be. Like 1 Peter 4 says, if you're speaking, be as an oracle. If you're serving, do it through the strength of God. Man, find where God wants you to be and be all in. God does not say you've got to be perfect. He told his son you've got to be perfect, but he does not tell us, the sons and daughters of righteousness, to be perfect. God did that for us. Beloved, if you need to find your spot, you need to find your place, find your gifts, find your calling, be with me, be with someone else, pray, be in a small group where you can find out what God wants you to do. But maybe today you say, the first thing I need to do based upon the message is not about me being good, it's about finding what is better. Can I tell you the best option for your life is to get your heart right with God. And the only way we can do that is by trusting in Christ. If you've never trusted in Christ, I don't expect you to find your calling yet. If you need to trust in Christ, if you need to make decisions of the faith, or when we sing just a moment, if you just want to pray to God and say, God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Give me back that fire back when I first got saved. Give me that excitement from that mission trip. Man, the camaraderie we used to have in the glory days of the church. Man, whatever it is, now's your time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for John's life. Although he is not the main idea, he is the platform from which we see Jesus. Father, would you raise up burning and shining lamps just to find their spot in life, their calling, their passion. Father, unleash us upon this community, upon the world for the glory of the Son. Lord, if someone in this room or someone listening online has never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, may they do it so simply in their hearts. May they cry out to him and receive the free gift of salvation through faith and repentance. Father, speak to hearts. Lord, provide encouragement. Lord, make us passionate. Make us pursue others with good works so they could see you. Father, would you bless the hearts of the hearers? We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.